Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Great. It's great to be here. I'm tall enough, so if it's okay, I think I'm going to pull this down here. Is that all right? Because if I stand up there, I'll be way too tall, so we don't want none of that. But hey, it's great to be with you. This is my first trip to Wyoming, and so it's been fantastic. I didn't get to see a whole lot of it. I flew in. I spoke a bunch this weekend. I'll speak today, and then I fly out immediately after this service. So again, if I take off too fast, I apologize. I'd love to be able to shake all your hands, but I have a 1:30 flight, and so one thing that does guarantee is I won't preach too long. Okay, so it won't be a real long service today because I have somewhere to be. But it is great to be with you. It's fantastic. The mountains are beautiful. Oh my goodness. You guys live every morning, get to wake up and look at those mountains. That is amazing. I don't have those. I have a lake, Lake Erie, but not quite mountains. But it's beautiful, and it's great to be here. The people of Wyoming are amazing as well. Very hospitable, super nice. It's been so much fun just to be here in Wyoming. And so thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for being here. I want to introduce you to my family, if I can, real quick. There was a brief introduction of my journey in ministry, but I want to introduce you to my family. I want to show a quick picture. I think that's what we do. All traveling speakers do that. They'll put their family on the screen, maybe. So on the left is, no, I'm kidding. we'll get it. We'll get there if it shows up. It's cool. I want to chat also. I want to just say, man, what an honor to be here on Veterans Day as well. Man, I'm a firm believer. Even today in our message, we will talk a little bit about learning from history, right? We can learn from history. There's so much to be learned from history, and I see people pointing, so that means the picture's up there. So here we go. So let me introduce you to my family. This is an older picture, but I showed this one. It's about a year-old picture. The reason I showed this one is because you'll see in the background is Cedar Point. So when I say I'm from Sandusky, Ohio, there's a handful of people that know what Cedar Point is. The farther west you go, the less... Okay, there's a couple people there. If you know roller coasters or if you like roller coasters, you know Cedar Point, okay? Cedar Point is where Cedar Fair, who owns it, likes to break world records. And so Cedar Point and Japan battle all the time for the tallest and fastest roller coasters. So if you are into that type of thing, then you need to come to Sandusky, Ohio, because we have the biggest, the fastest roller coasters in the nation. So anyways, but that's where me and my family are at. So I'm going to start in the bottom right-hand corner. That's my baby, Noah. Anyone who has kids has a baby. They'll be the baby forever. We know that. We've talked about that this weekend. Once a baby, always a baby. He'll be a baby forever. He's in third grade now. He's 9. He tells me he's not a baby. It's too bad. One of my favorite things to do is to snuggle up with my baby Noah. You know what I mean? I tell him all the time. There's nothing like snuggling with Noah to calm my heart. You know, when I get stressed out, I'm like, Noah, come here. Can you just sit on my lap for a minute? And he'll snuggle up on my lap. It's the best thing ever, and it helps me calm down. In the middle, right next to me, is my middle son, Levi. He's 11. He's the biggest of the family. So my older brother, the older brother, Micah, he hates that. But his younger brother is taller, weighs about 20 pounds more than he does. For some reason, he's just the big boy. He's the silent one. But he's also the strongest, so if you cross him, he will make you pay. And so we talked about that this week as well. That's my boy Levi. And then right there in the middle is my oldest, Micah. He's 12. He's in seventh grade. Just made the basketball team. Excited about that. And he's growing up. He is such a good big brother. But he, like all big brothers, he also does his fair share of antagonizing his little brothers. I think that's part of being an older brother. So not only does he take good care of his brothers, he teases them as well. And so that's a lot of fun. And then on the far right there is my wife, Mandy, of 22 years. We've been married for 22 years. I know I don't look that old to be married that long, but we are. We're old. We've been married 22 years. And so... that's my family. And so I'll get home around 9 o'clock, around 10 o'clock tonight, and get to see them again. And I miss them every time I walk away or travel. I always look at those pictures and it makes me sad. But it's okay. I'll see them here in a little bit. But I want to just chat with you if we can. I want to share a little bit about history. And there was a verse that hit me one time in my life, and I read this verse, and it challenged me in a way that, I think it challenged me in a way that I'll never be the same again. You ever have that? You ever just be reading the scripture, reading the Bible, reading God's word, and there comes a moment when the Bible just speaks to you in a way that that transforms your heart, transforms your mind. It just changes you from the inside. It's hard to unpack that, but it's just something. It was a verse that stuck out, and so I want to open our Bibles up real quick to Psalm chapter 73. And I just pull out one portion, one verse of Psalm chapter 73, and I'll unpack it a little bit. But Psalm chapter 73, verse 25, and it says this: "Whom have I in heaven but you?" And then this is the line. This is the line that gets me. This is the line that challenges me. And he says this: "And earth has nothing I desire besides you." And earth has nothing I desire besides you. There's nothing on this earth that I desire more than you. There is nothing on this earth that I want more than you. Lord, there is nothing on this earth I desire more than you. And so I just want to have a conversation today about putting first things first. About putting first things first. Because I know for me, man, there were moments. I shared a story this weekend about a time when God spoke to me. I'm a basketball guy. I've already shared that. Excited that my son made the basketball team. But, man, I love basketball. I love this season. I love my Celtics. Come on, we're going to win the championship this year. You know, I love basketball, and it's one of my favorite seasons of the year. And there was a moment when I was preaching one Sunday morning. I was up Saturday night, and long story short, I was watching the show about basketball, and it affected my heart. It affected the way, I mean, I could feel. I had a desire to play basketball that I could feel. You know what I mean? Somebody, how many of you guys like to hunt? You know what I mean? You got to hunt. You got some hunters in here? Okay, we got some hunters in here. So, you know, let's say you see a commercial, and you see an elk on that commercial. There's a part of you go, oh. Boy, I can't wait for hunting season. You know, if you like to fish, you know, or if you whatever you like to do, there are moments when you see something, you're like, oh, yeah. Yep. I cannot wait until, you know, we all have those things in our lives. For me, it's basketball. For you, it's something else. You know, it's whatever it is, right? So, but there's always something that when you see it, it touches your. Well, that was kind of the experience I had. I had this moment where I could feel it in my heart. Man, I wanted to play basketball. I wanted to play so bad, I could feel it. And I walked in the back of my house, and there's this little room we had back there, and it was a room we used as an office where I did a lot of my studies. And as soon as I walked through the door, it was the craziest thing the Lord spoke to me. As soon as I walked in that room, the Lord spoke to me, and this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, "That's how I want you to desire me." And that was a moment when I realized, okay, I get it now. You know, a lot of times in life, we talk about priorities, and we talk about God as our first priority. Like, if I brought a dry erase board up here, and we surveyed the crowd, and we said, hey, let's just prioritize our life here for a minute. Let's take a moment and unpack the important things of our life. What would be our top priority? Well, we're in church, if you haven't noticed. We're in church here this morning, and so I would guarantee you that the top priority we would say would be God, right, absolutely. So we would write that real big on the board. Then we'd say, what's our next priority? What's the next thing? The next most important thing in our life? We would say family, absolutely. Some of us would say spouse or kids. We'd say family. What would be number three? What's the third most important thing we'd put on there? Health. That's when it starts to get a little crazy. Some people say job. Some people say community. So, you know, but your top two priorities are always the same, especially in church. Right? Your top two priorities are going to be God and family. But, you know, there comes a moment in our lives when we look at that and we could say what we want, but sometimes our lives reflect something different. You know, I used to say this line in leadership, you know, we'd sit in rooms and we'd plan events and we'd plan things. And I'd say, listen, you can call it what you want, but it is what it is. You can say whatever you want about that thing. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. Same way for our priorities. I think for us this morning, we could say that God is our top priority, but there's also a moment we could look back in our lives and say, is he really? Does the way we spend our time reflect that God is our top priority? Is the way that we spend our money, does that reflect that God is our top priority? Like, does it? I don't know. That's for you to decide. Family's the same thing. Like I talk to people all the time. You know, I've spent a lot of my years in Next Generation Ministries. And I talk to a lot of parents like, oh, man, I love my kids. I love my kids more than anything in the world. And if you ask the kids, they may not say the same thing. Do you feel loved by your parents? Well, I know he likes to fish. Right? We can say that we love God. We can say that we love our family. And let me just say this. I believe that that's true. I believe that when we say it, it is a true intention of our life. I mean, I don't think we're trying to be, we're not trying to fool anybody. We're not trying to be malicious in our words. I think at the end of the day, when we say God is our top priority, I believe that's a true statement. In your heart, you believe that God is your top priority. I believe that when you say that family is next, I believe that it's true. But I think there's also a moment when we have to be very intentional about what our top priorities really are. And I think we can learn from history on this one. I think there's a history lesson that we can unpack, and we can begin to look at Scripture as a history lesson for us on how we can be very intentional about our priorities. And I'm going to do this fairly quickly. I'm gonna throw a verse up here on the screen that is not our main text, but I'm gonna throw it up here because I know you guys have heard this one, I know you guys have seen this one, and I want to use this one to begin to unpack history, right? And it's Jeremiah 29:11. Come on, you know that one, right? Come on, how many of you guys have this verse somewhere in your house, whether it's on a little stone or a plaque or it's on a wall on a picture? Just raise your hand up. Be proud right now. Let them know. This, everyone, listen, in the church, this is one of those top five verses. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is one of those verses that you're like, yep, if you walk into most people's houses and you look at the decor in their house, there's a good chance you're going to find this verse somewhere. I'm going to tell you, if you walk into most pastors' offices, there's a good chance you're going to find this verse somewhere. It's just one of those verses. But I think it's fantastic because it unpacks history for us. And it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." This is the part we all love. This is the moment we're like, yeah, this is it right here. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, I wish we wouldn't always stop at 29:11. I wish we'd go a little bit further. So I didn't. I went a couple more for you because I love the second half of this more than I like the first half of this. The first half is about the promise. We love that one. But let's read a little further in verse 12 and 13. It says, "Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you." And listen, this is, oh, look at this one. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, it's a beautiful verse here, but you've got to understand the context of this verse, right? Jeremiah is saying this in the midst of exile. So at the time that this is written, just history, we're not going to go into a lot of it. You can look at it, but the promised land was divided into two kingdoms. You had Judah, you had Israel. The northern kingdom had already been defeated by the Assyrians. This is history. You can look at it. It happened in history. The Assyrians came in and have already conquered the northern kingdom. So Jeremiah at this point is speaking to the southern kingdom, Israel, and he said, "Hey, listen, I've got the plans for you, hope, future, but people are already beginning to get in exile, and what's happening is soon the Babylonians come in and conquer the southern kingdom." So there's a season now where the northern kingdom conquered by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom conquered by the Babylonians. Why were they conquered? Well, the reason this happened was they had rejected God. They had turned their backs on God. They had rebelled. And so because they had rebelled, the Lord allowed them to be conquered, and then they were in exile. So they were removed from their homes and placed all over the place. So this is where he's speaking this, right? So in some ways it's a promise. It's a promise. There are many people that are in exile. They've been removed from their home. They're in exile. They're gone. They're not home. There's no hope for them right now. This is not a season of hope. And so Jeremiah is speaking a promise to them. Now, what I love as we move forward here, and when it really gets good, is there's a promise that God will begin to return them. So we've got Assyrians, Babylonians. Then in history, if you watch through history, what happens next is the Persians come in. So the Persians come in and they start to take over. And this is, you know, that Babylonian season. This is fun because you guys will recognize this is a Daniel. How many of you guys know Daniel's story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? That's all taking place here. That's the moment in history when that's what's taking place in this moment. All those fantastic stories that we have in the Old Testament are happening during this captivity. But what happens now is the Persians come in, and when the Persians take power, the Persians come in and they begin to allow the Israelites to go back home. Right? They begin to allow the Israelites to go back home. And so what happens is they head back home, and then we're going to turn our books to the Bible of Haggai. How many of you guys read Haggai in the last six months? Right? Like, this is a fun one. Open your Bible to the book of Haggai if you have it. But here's the statement I want to make to you this morning. Before I read this text, here's the statement I want to make. I believe with all my heart that when your priorities are in order, God's presence and his blessings follow. I believe this with all of my heart. I've seen it. We see it through history. We're going to see it right here. That when our priorities are in order, when we say God is our top priority, and he actually is, our time and our energy and our resources prove that God is our top priority. When our priorities are in order, when we keep the first things first, when we keep God first in our lives, what I believe with all my heart is that God's presence and his blessings, they follow. Now let's look at this. Open up your book of Haggai. Chapter 1, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, so stick with me. It says this, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Don't you love Old Testament names, man? Come on, that is good stuff. I think we should bring those back. If anyone is pregnant, here. I think there are some names right here. Jehozadak is a good one. I like that one. That's a fun one. Your kids would be so mad at you. But okay, anyways. But it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and on the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Now let me unpack this a little bit more in history. So when the Persians come in and they allow the Israelites to go home, what happened is immediately they go home and they begin rebuilding the temple. Right? They begin rebuilding the temple. God's house, they begin rebuilding the temple. But what happened in this season, and not everyone had returned yet, there's still people in exile, so this is just a group of, they began to rebuild the temple. But what happened was opposition came. There was some opposition that came through the Samaritans and some other. Bottom line, there was some opposition that came. And when the opposition came, they got distracted. And when they got distracted, they stopped building the temple and started fortifying their homes. Isn't that the way life works? Isn't that the way life works for us? When life gets crazy, when the distractions come, we lose focus. That's exactly what took place here. They were rebuilding the temple. They were coming home from exile, right? Remember, this is the fulfillment of Jeremiah's promise, right? That Jeremiah 29, 11, this is the fulfillment of many prophecies, right? This is the fulfillment. This is what Daniel prayed for, right? This is the fulfillment. They're rebuilding the temple, and then opposition comes and starts to get hard. How many times we say, God, I'm going to commit my life. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to give you my all. And then life gets hard. And you're like, well, I don't have time. I'm busy. You know. What's interesting here is that message that Haggai says is, listen, you planted much and harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You put on clothes but you're never warm. Why? Because they're not fully living in God's blessings. And it's not because of sin. I want to make sure we focus on that here for a second. So often we always think that a lack of God's blessings is a result of sin. It's not because of sin. It's just their priorities got out of whack. They weren't sinning. They went into exile because of sin years ago. God is drawing them home. But they're not fully living in the blessings of God yet. Life is still tough. And they're probably thinking, why in the world is life so tough? It shouldn't be like this. Jeremiah said, remember we read a little bit of hope and not for harm. Come on, where's that? And God's saying, I've got that for you. But here's the problem. You're focused on your own house instead of me. The problem is you focused on your own house instead of me. And what I believe is when we keep Jesus first, we don't get distracted and we don't get tired. That's when God's blessings come. So I'm telling you to keep Jesus first in your life. Don't get distracted and don't get tired. No matter how hard it gets, keep Jesus first. And we're going to unpack this verse a little bit more. Let me tell you a quick story. So I travel a little bit and there was a time when I was traveling. It's when I was living in Ohio. I was in Missouri for an event. And during this event, the guys always get together to play basketball. So I talk about basketball a lot. I'm sorry. If you don't like basketball, you should. So I was playing basketball. Well, I didn't pack my basketball shoes like a knucklehead. I have no clue why I didn't do it, but I didn't pack them, but I'm not going to not play. So I went and played, and the shoes I had weren't great shoes. So anyways, go up for a rebound, come from the rebound. I landed flat-footed, and I've never hurt my back before. I've always kind of just been an athlete. But when I landed from this rebound, I felt this tingle thing go way up my leg and right up into my back. And there was a moment when I just froze. And I thought, oh, goodness, what in the world did I just do? And I went from being a basketball player to walking like this, right? I don't know what was going on, but I couldn't move. I walked off the court, and I tried to sit down. I couldn't move. So we get done. I go back, and, the conference, I'm trying to, I'm trying to sit in chairs and be part of this conference. That night, I'm laying in my bed, and I can't get comfortable. If you've ever had back issues, I mean, it was horrible. And it was horrible. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm mad. I'm just straight mad. I've never been hurt like this before. I'm just mad at this point. I'm mad, and I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? I've got to fly home. That's going to be horrible. I'm like, and I've got friends who had back issues. I'm like, am I going to be able to play golf again? Like what? I like to golf. I'm not going to be able to swing my club. I can barely walk. Am I going to be able to play basketball again? And I'm laying in bed, and I'm angry. I'm mad. Well, my phone rings, and it's my wife. And my oldest son, Micah, he had growing pains real bad. Like he would wake up in the middle of the night, his legs would hurt. Oh, man, his legs were hurting bad. And so Mandy calls me, and she's like, I'm sorry to call so late. I'm like, oh, that's right, I'm up. And she said, well, Micah woke up, and his legs are hurting. And he's in pain. And he just called because he needs his dad to pray for him. I know, right? And so sure enough, man, I get on the phone, and I'm like, hey, Bobby, what's going on? And he's telling me, and I pray for him, and I encourage him, and I'm go back to sleep. It'll be okay. And, that whole thing, you're a dad, and talk to Mandy. I hang up the phone, and the Lord speaks to me. Here, I'm an ordained minister. In fact, I'm the student ministries director for the state of Ohio. I'm a DYD. I've been in ministry for a long time, and I hurt my back, and all I could think about was airplanes, golf, and basketball. My son gets up, his legs hurt, and all he can think about is Jesus. And there was a moment then when God spoke to me. There are times in our lives when we have car issues and we look for a mechanic. I'm not saying we won't need a mechanic, but is the immediate response of your heart to go, goodness gracious, I can't afford this? Or is it to say, Lord, I need you here. Because is the immediate response of your heart to focus on the issue or to focus on the Lord? And I think that's what I'm talking about today. When we talk about priorities and we talk about putting God first, the greatest test you could have is the immediate response of your heart. When things don't go right, what does the immediate response of your heart do? If you get sick, does the immediate response of your heart say, I've got to schedule an appointment with my doctor? Or does the immediate response of your heart say, I'm going to pray and seek the Lord, then schedule an appointment with my doctor? What is the first thing you do? Now let's jump back in the book of Haggai, because remember the story here? They're coming back and they're started rebuilding the temple. They got distracted and started building their own homes. And Haggai, the prophet, the Lord speaks through Haggai and says, hey, listen. Don't get distracted. Don't get tired. He said, listen, you've tried. You've worked so hard. You're trying so hard to do it on your own, and it's not working out for you. You're trying so hard. Remember what Haggai said? You've planted, and you don't have enough. You eat, you don't have your fill. You work, you don't have it. You just, no matter what you do, you never have enough. Did you ever notice that? You notice why? He says, because our priorities are out of whack. Now let's look at see what happens with the Israelites here as they hear the message from Haggai. And we're going to fast forward to Haggai chapter 2, verse 15 through 19. And it says, now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, hail, and you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, you know, before I read this portion, you know what's awesome about the two segments here is when they heard the first message of the Lord, you know what they did? The governor and the priest, you know what they did? They circled the troops and said, okay, listen, go up in the hill, grab the timber, let's rebuild the temple. What they did was they heard the voice of the Lord and responded to it. You know, sometimes in our lives we hear the voice of the Lord and we're like, all right, cool, I'll get to that later. They did not. It's a fantastic story here of where God spoke to them and they went, okay, my bad, let's do it right. And they began to rebuild the temple. And this is the response. It says, from this day on, he marks the day. This is beautiful. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there any seed left in the barn? Until now, the wine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. Read that last line. Yeah. But from this day on, I will bless you. From this day on, I will bless you. Listen to the message of history here. This is historical. It's archived in not only in scripture, but in history. Look at what we can learn from history here is that there's a moment when our priorities, it's not that we're doing wrong things, it's not that we're sinning, it's just when our priorities get out of whack, what happens is we begin to slide out of the fulfillment of God's blessings. Listen, God wants to bless you. But sometimes we slide out of those. It doesn't mean things are going wrong or bad. It's just, man, you ever feel like it's just not enough? I'm not saying you're sinning. I'm not saying that you're not even putting God first. What I am saying is through history, what we can see is that when we don't keep God first in our lives, we begin to slide out of his fulfillment of what life with Jesus is all about. You know, I've made a lot of decisions in my life, sometimes decisions that people don't understand. And they look at me and they say, why? I mean, right now I'm living in one. My wife is the National Girls Ministries Director for the National Office, right? So I was the Director of Student Discipleship for National Youth Ministries. My wife and I both had director jobs at the National Office, right? So people used to tease us all the time, like power couple, right? Like my wife and I had very influential jobs in the National Office of the Assemblies of God. And God called us home to a church of about 250. And people can't understand. They're like, you know, why would you leave those jobs to do that? Because God called. And for me, God is first in my life. And when God calls, I'll respond. And sometimes it doesn't make sense in balance sheets. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. But I'm telling you, when we put God first, his blessings follow. My challenge for you today is this, is that I would challenge each one of you to keep Jesus first. No matter what, keep Jesus first. And not just with your words, but with your life. I encourage you to keep Jesus first with your time, with your resources, with your energy, with your talents, with your abilities. Keep Jesus first. And when we keep Jesus first, when our priorities are in line, that's when God's blessings flow. That's when God's presence flows, when Jesus is first in our lives. We see it through history. We see it through history. So here's how we want to close here. We're going to have the worship team come on up. And we're going to close like this. We'll do a little different. Okay, we're going to do a little different. Why? Because I'm a guest. I'm going to get on a plane, and you can't say that you don't like it. I mean, you can. I just won't know. You know what I'm saying? So you can tell me all day long you don't like the way I close, and it's okay. At 10 o'clock tonight, I'll be a lot of miles away, right? So, no, I'm kidding. But seriously, I do believe, just like in the book of Haggai, there's something about a transfer of responsibility from a message, from the messenger to the receiver. I think every Sunday morning you guys have this. Every Sunday morning, pastor gets up here and preaches, and there's a responsibility he has to share the word of the Lord that God's placed on his heart to the people of Casper, right? And so, but then there's a moment, there's a transition of responsibility where he shares the message, but then there's a response that's required. There's a moment when you have to process that message, pray about that message, and respond to it. Just like in the book of Haggai, right? When Haggai came and shared the message, what'd they do? They responded, they heard the word of the Lord, and began to do what the Lord said. So it's kind of like that for us. I'm just here, I'm nobody, you guys don't know me, and you know, there's a good chance, and, you know, outside of heaven, we may not see each other again. So I'm just here to say, you know what I've seen in history and in my own life, is that when we keep God first, we live in the fullness of God's presence. What I know is when we keep God first, not just with our words, but with our actions, when we keep God first, we live in his blessings. When we keep Jesus the top priority of our life, decisions get a whole lot easier. Life gets a little bit easier.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.